What's popping? Debate just ended.
That was exhausting.
I know, I'm thoroughly exhausted. Mark and I are still here somehow. Jay's here too. Jay worked on posting part one. Fortunately for him, he didn't have to watch the whole debate. Oh, God. Can we move the vote up? Move the election up, please.
Well, once again, everybody's pretty much decided by now. Do you think Bones decided? Remember, he was one of the undecided voters at the last debate.
Yeah. Let's see. We got Bones' number, don't we?
We do. We should, yeah.
Want to dial Bone up?
Bone.
It's a great idea.
Bone.
It was a cell phone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But most people, what they say is that most people have decided it's just now about energizing the base.
Okay.
To make sure people go out and vote.
I can't, I can't imagine how that debate changed anyone's mind.
Well, I mean, once again, it's just getting people pumped up to go vote.
Well, if that's the case...
It's all confirmation bias.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm curious to see the polls for this debate. I thought Hillary is as rehearsed as ever, mm-hmm. which I guess is good. I mean, that's what a politician does. They're pros. They're smooth. They've got their lines.
She hit harder than I ever thought she was going to tonight.
Yeah, she had some lines, you know, I was doing this while you were doing The Apprentice, you know, stuff like that.
That one burned him.
Yeah.
I think he was pissed off about that. I thought it was funny, too, she brought up the Emmy Award that he was complaining was rigged. You're just talking about that.
Yeah, I think I heard some laughs when she said that.
I think the loudest laugh of the night, though, was after the talking. Finally, you know, it took 52 minutes to get to Pussygate in the whole debate. And then after they, you know, wrangle about that for 4 minutes, finally, Trump goes, "Nobody has more respect for women than I do." And the crowd actually laughed. That's the point we're at now.
Why would he even say that? I mean, it's just such a stupid line in light of
voters believe
the situation. Yeah, no, he definitely is of the... Well, I mean, actually, she is too. If you say it enough, it is. I mean,
how many
we go high. She doesn't go high. Are you kidding me?
No, I know. It's ridiculous.
You know, she didn't even respond to the whole thing about access and pay to play. She didn't even answer the question.
Yeah.
She really didn't. She just...
He called her out.
Well, let me tell
you
what the Clinton Foundation does. Yeah, he had a good line on that, didn't he? What did he say?
Well, she ended in... I'm trying to find it in my notes, but he said something along the lines of, "See how she spun out of that one?"
Yeah,
something along that line.
That was one of the better lines. That might have been his best line all night.
It was funny, though. She brought it back to his... It's weird for him to attack her charity when he's under investigation right now, too, for his charity. Because he didn't even answer the question. And it's very minor compared to what the Clinton Foundation has done. But the whole paying for the flag penalty, I mean, he dodged that too. But once again, very minor compared to what the Clinton Foundation.
She also pivoted into him not paying his taxes,
mm-hmm.
which, or not having, yeah, not having, I'm sorry, well, not paying his taxes, also not having his tax returns available.
I thought that was another line she kind of burned him on, was that there's illegal immigrants that have paid more in taxes than a billionaire has.
Which is such bullshit. He pays state tax, whether he pays federal tax or not. I mean, his state tax has got to be... I mean, I don't know about you in Michigan, but Michigan, I pay a lot of state tax in Michigan.
Isn't it flat?
Huh?
State tax is flat here, isn't it?
3.4,
wasn't it? Or 3.2? Maybe it's 4.3. Maybe I'm dyslexic.
Can you googs that?
Googs.
Is that a goog?
Hey, googs on that.
Give that a goog.
That came up tonight.
I want to say it's 4.35 or
okay,
something.
Maybe it's 4.3 then.
4.25. It was higher. But, so, I mean, that's so ridiculous. He pays so much more tax
than
any pile of immigrants pays.
I think the idea was based on percentage.
Well, yeah, okay. That's funny how, well, it is funny how, you know, like when Warren Buffett says, "My secretary pays higher taxes than I do."
Mm-hmm.
His secretary, if she makes 80 grand, what does she pay, 25 in taxes? The guy pays in the millions in taxes. I mean, I understand his point. And, you know, it's, I suppose, a good point. But, you know, a lot of people think that she pays more money to the tax, puts more money in the government coffers than he does, which is ridiculous. But anyway.
Should we call Ken?
Yeah, call Ken.
Boom. You think he's awake? Probably looking at some Prego porn.
Oh, he's supposed to be. He was supposed to be on Kimmel after this debate, which is kind of interesting because I wouldn't be surprised if Kimmel canceled.
Really, over
the Prego porn and there was some creepy stuff.
And Jennifer Lawrence's butthole.
Which the people who looked at it were even more wrong than she was for putting it up, I think. But people like me.
Yeah, well, the people that stole it were.
Hi, you've reached Ken Bone.
Bone!
Sorry, I couldn't take your call, but leave your name and number. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message.
Let's be busy
when
with
you. Finished recording, Prego you may
porn.
Hang up or press 1 for more options.
Leave me a message.
I will. Hey, K Bone! It's Drew and Mark. We talked to you from Michigan. You were on your way to Kimmel last debate, right? Yeah, last debate.
The day after, yeah.
I wanted to talk to you, get your thoughts on tonight's debate, see if you're any closer to making your selection, and I will let Jay give you the phone number on on your VM here, voicemail. So, anyway, hope you got a few minutes for us, Ken. We'll be talking for another 50 minutes or so. See you.
Bye-bye.
So, I got to tell you, I was bored faster in this debate than either of the first two.
Well, the first question was about
Supreme Court.
Yeah, boring.
Boring.
As if we don't know what both their answers were going to be. Although, I did find it kind of interesting that Trump, instead of answering the question, started talking about the Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing.
Oh, that was funny.
doesn't that underscore the problem with him? Is staying on message instead of talking about like what he's going to do or what he believes.
It's
some petty little bullshit argument that he's right about.
It's so funny.
She never should have made comment about it.
No, God help him when he's right about something like that. You know, she was wrong and she admitted it and she should have.
I just think that's, oh boy, I don't know.
And then
he said the Constitution was written the way it was meant to be written.
Well, see, this is the thing about Trump. He doesn't have a filter. That's why he probably can't win this election, because he just, whatever is on his brain, he just barfs it out.
I know.
Sometimes it's good.
Some people think that's a good thing.
Well, some people like it. And that's why I said when he first started running, I said, he's completely vetted. We know him. I mean, he's given us everything we could possibly want of an individual who's not a member of the government. I mean, who's just a regular citizen who's out there. We know everything about him. We didn't know everything about him, but we sure knew that. We knew a hell of a lot about him.
Wouldn't he have served this process much better if he just was moderator of every debate and if he had like his own news station every night instead of actually being a candidate?
You know, I have no idea. I got to tell you, I don't know. I can't really tell you what kind of a president he'd be. You know, I used to think
why is the
art of the deal, you know, he's a deal maker, he's a good business guy. I used to think business guys would make good presidents, but the thing is, first of all, I don't think they'll let you be a good president. If you don't go through, it's sort of like, he didn't pay his dues, he hasn't been a card-carrying member of this party, he hasn't been a senator, he hasn't been a governor, he hasn't done anything. You know, why should we let him? He has, he hasn't...
Are you saying it's rigged?
A little bit, yeah, I am saying it's rigged. No, don't you think they're gonna shut down anyone like him that gets in there who hasn't paid their dues? They're gonna make
Congress?
It hard for them. Yeah,
well, not unless they want to work with it and get something done.
I mean, they do it now. We used to have deal makers like Tip O'Neill who could cross the aisle and get things done. Now it's complete gridlock. Somebody like him gets in there, I think his own party would screw him. They already, I mean, for obvious reasons in some cases, and probably reasons that are more than reasonable. But I just think. I think it would be such incredible gridlock if he was in there. I can't even begin to imagine. And I don't know what kind of gridlock it's going to be with her. I think it's going to be bad.
Two questions, though. Why is the outsider? I know we all abhor politicians in general. Nobody likes them. I don't understand why anybody would want to be a politician. It's just kind of a joke thing to do in my mind. I can't wrap my head around it. But why is just being a simple outsider a good thing?
Well, if you're a business person and you know, in his case, if you think about his image before this thing started, a deal maker, a guy that gets things done, a guy who understands business. And he said this tonight, something about how, you know, you're just politicians. You don't do things. You're not out there really doing it. You know, people like that shouldn't be making deals, shouldn't be crafting, somebody gave a lot of money to the party, shouldn't be. And there are a lot of patronage jobs. People like that crafting trade deals, which is a terrible oversimplification, but nonetheless, you know, I don't really know how qualified he is to to rewrite a trade like NAFTA or something like that. And see, by the way, how many times can he say NAFTA is the worst thing in the history of the planet or the solar system?
I know.
He cannot overemphasize.
Once again, most of that, now Bill signed it. It was kind of bipartisan, but most of it was developed by George Bush, the first one.
Well,
most of it was negotiated by him.
If it's bad, it's bad. I don't really care who negotiated it.
Most economists feel that it's been good for the economy, too. It's just hard to quantify it because it's a lot easier to say how many jobs have disappeared because there's jobs over the border. But I think as far as prices being low on items in general, I'm just stating what economists feel.
If this election were anything normal, it would probably be a big help to him in some of the big states that are important to him, just because the Rust Belt has been hurt.
Of course.
A lot of people have lost jobs. A lot of people and families are
But I'd like to hear how he's going to bring those jobs back. All he ever says is, we won't let them leave. That's all he ever says. We never should have let them leave. What is the actual plan to bring back manufacturing jobs when technology has killed most of them?
Oh, I just think he thinks that... If NAFTA worked more effectively, that we'd be making things. You know what he said is true. We don't make things in this country anymore.
No.
We don't make hardly anything.
We're a service economy. We're a finance economy now. That's my point, though. Is where are these jobs he's going to bring back? Can I ask the second?
Well, I assume he's suggesting that some of these factories that are in Mexico should be in this country, and we shouldn't be making cars with people who are making, you know, $2 an hour in Mexico or whatever the hell they make.
Then things are going to cost more.
Well, I don't know. The way we're building things now, we're building with our car factories right now. I mean, they've lowered the cost of labor significantly.
Of course they have. Just to keep jobs.
They're not going to just jack.
I feel like he oversimplifies it. Like, we're going to bring jobs back and prices are going to remain the same.
I don't think auto workers are going to go back to making, auto workers, they really didn't lose that much when you think about it.
Well, just the number of jobs have decreased.
Right. But, I mean, just because, I don't want to get into it. This is way beyond what our audience wants to hear us doing, in my opinion.
Well, can I ask number two question that I was going to ask?
Yeah.
Because you said this image of a deal maker and a businessman. How good of a businessman is he really?
Well, that's what she's trying to suggest. He's not that good a businessman. Come on. Look at the buildings he's put up in this country.
Okay. So he's a real estate. Okay.
He's a billionaire.
Okay.
I don't know if he got a $14 million loan or he got a $1 million loan. I've always heard he got a $1 million loan. She says he got a $14 million loan.
It seems to have been debunked to where it was a $14 million loan. Whatever. Who cares?
Whatever he got, he's still more than shitload. He's done it 100,000 times over if he has $4 billion or whatever. I don't know. He used to be on the Forbes 400 list. I assume he still is.
But isn't his business really the name and plastering the name on things like...
Oh, he's definitely a huckster. He's
buildings and steaks and water and.
But he does build the buildings. I mean, I've stayed in Trump's hotel in Chicago. It's a nice hotel. I think it's overpriced. Actually, I stayed in it when I stayed in it, they were still building it. Oh, he's number one. Okay, he's the 156th richest person in the world. I would say that's a pretty successful. That's a really fucking successful businessman. I'd be delighted to be that successful at anything. I don't know why. I mean, I think. It's easy to say, oh, he's not as rich as he says he is, but he's on the Forbes 400 list. I mean, what's better than that?
Okay,
I don't argue with that success. I would never argue with it.
I was just asking.
I don't think he's a great guy. He certainly has some character flaws. How much they would have hurt him as president? Hard to say. I don't know. I have to tell you this. I'm very disappointed in him because when he first started running the primaries, I thought, hey, this is kind of cool. I've always wanted an outsider. I always loved Ross Perot. I thought, you know, I think it'd be damn cool if somebody like Ross Perot were president. Somebody who was a brilliant business person.
Vast difference between, remember Perot, and it kind of hurt him, was that he had those half-hour infomercials about what he would do.
But he was good. He was a great communicator.
I didn't have a problem with Ross. I'm just saying the difference between him and Trump.
What?
As far as their plan. He actually had a plan.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, Ross Perot is a better candidate than Trump. Don't get me wrong. Trump, Perot left the race over the CIA interrupting his daughter's wedding or whatever the hell. I mean, that was crazy town. I mean, he was wacky in his own way, too.
Lovable wacky.
He was really likable. I think honestly, he was extremely likable. Mm-hmm. I bought him hook, line, and sinker. I voted for him anyway. I joined United We Stand. Remember, as a card-carrying member.
Yes.
I was really pumped about Ross Perot. Mike liked him a lot, too.
There was a giant sucking sound.
It was hard not to like him.
He was right about NAFTA.
But, you know, then there was the Stockdale selection. I mean, what if something happened to this guy? Stockdale's going to be fucking president? Come on. That was crazy. And what, I'm trying to remember, what was Stockdale's claim to fame? He ran a civilization?
Oh, really?
Did they say that?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember that. Civilization.
I think he might have been, I don't know, is that when he was a POW or something?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But, you know, I love that. And to this day, I would have liked to see him become president. Although, a little crazy there. Trump, on the other hand, all the things I liked about Trump, I'm moving my hand like Trump. You know, okay, the appearances in Howard Stern, that doesn't bother me. Why would that bother me?
Absolutely.
The Apprentice, I didn't care. In fact, it annoyed the shit out of me, and people said, this is not a reality TV show. No, it's not a reality TV show. He's not pretending it's a reality TV show. But what bothered me was it seemed like he didn't listen to people. He didn't take advice. He didn't build an organization like I expected he would.
Yep.
And as time went on, it became apparent that he really was. I don't even know what the term for it is. It's just, I think it's character flaws. I can't stand her. And honestly, watching her tonight, it's everything I hate about politics. The perfectly rehearsed. I'm sure she's got her lines down. Whether she really knows what the fuck she's doing, I have no idea.
Well, it's even worse because she's probably the most rehearsed candidate ever.
Oh, yeah. And she thinks she knows it all.
And she thinks she's entitled to the position.
Yeah, this is her birthright. And all this stuff about families and kids, you know, when I hear the way she treats people, yeah. I really find it hard to believe.
Nobody believes that.
That she is such a warm, you know, they were talking about.
I really don't even think her supporters believe that.
I think some of them do. I think a lot of people think, oh, women want to be president. She's fought for women and children. But when you look at how, for example, in the memos that were out just recently, and this is Podesta stuff, I think, they were talking about how many people it took to decide on what joke she should tell.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was clear that those people are scared to death of her. Except for Jennifer Granholm, who obviously doesn't know her at all and made the most ridiculous. Oh, well, by the way, what was the new suggestion? What was the latest on Granholm? Didn't she come up again?
She sent an email to Podesta just in the fall of 08, right after Obama won, trying to get the energy position. The Secretary
Oh, that's right.
Energy.
That's right. And Mary Barra was on the VP list?
Yeah, that was odd. So was Bill Gates. Could you,
Bill Gates as her VP. Are you kidding?
So was, I think, Bezos, the head of Amazon, was too.
You know,
the head of, is he Starbucks, I believe?
I want to know who suggested Bill Gates and Bezos, because I don't ever care to hear anything they have to say again. That's so stupid. I mean, honest to God, that is so utterly moronic.
I know.
Bill Gates would be second fiddle. To Hillary Clinton, oh my God!
Well,
Bill Gates going to funerals and
honestly, even the idea of having Bernie Sanders being her VP is laughable.
Yeah, I would say
laughable.
I liked her VP actually when she first named him.
Kane?
Yeah, Kane.
Yeah,
but I'm finding him really annoying now.
He's incredibly annoying.
Yeah, this could be a really annoying 4 years because I'm assuming she's going to win. I don't know. My only question about her winning is how many people are afraid to say they're for Trump, which is really sad.
I don't know. I don't find anybody to be afraid to say they're for Trump, to tell you the truth.
I don't know. How many people do you know that are saying they're for Trump? You know, a lot of, I mean,
well,
I don't.
I see a lot of Trump supporters out there. On
no,
Facebook.
I mean, people you know that would say, oh, I love Trump. I'm for Trump all the way. He's great.
I don't know, maybe six or seven.
I don't think I know that many.
I don't know that many people that say that about Hillary either.
Oh, I've heard a lot of people say they're voting for Hillary or they like her or, in fact, I'm surprised how many people, I don't know. I just, to me, this is just,
I find
pick the better bad medicine.
I know far more people that say they just flat out hate Trump, and a lot of people that flat out say they hate Hillary.
Yeah, I would say, you know, at first I thought the hatred was clearly on Trump's shoulders, but it's, I don't know, the more I observe this, the more I think the hatred is fairly even, because people don't like her, despise her, and just can't stand the idea of her being president. But I think that's certainly at least equal, if not more, on his end. And I don't know who will be the worst loser. I thought it would be the Hillary. I thought if Hillary lost, that they would be worse losers, the Hillary fans. But I think the Trump fans might be worse losers now.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm really not sure. But this is the shittiest election. It's been, honestly, for about the last month, I'd say, I've found it to be complete misery. And I think the misery has only just begun. There's 3 more weeks to go, and it's going to be...
Yeah, but no more debates. It's going to be a lot of, although the WikiLeaks thing keeps coming out.
Yeah, it's true.
Every day.
I think there's some big stuff coming. I don't think it's over. And I don't mean just on her. It could be on anybody. I mean, there could be another 50 women coming.
For him?
Yeah, sure. And you know what else? Now that this chick came out, that Breitbart brought this Bill Clinton chick out, yeah, there could be another 10 or 12 of those coming.
Sure. I can't believe his denial, though, about Russia with the whole WikiLeaks thing. He sits in security briefings. They're probably telling him to his face that it's Russia. And instead he just decides to go, I don't know Putin, we're not friends.
Well, that's what I mean. What
is that about?
I just don't think he listens to anyone. I really don't. I think he
Do you think he knows Putin? Do you think he is two people, one person removed from Putin?
God, I honestly don't know. Oh, I really don't know. Wait, why do you think he's so tight with Putin?
Well, considering Paul Manafort, who used to be head of his election, worked for the pro-Russian head in the Ukraine, who was one step away from Putin, says something. The fact that he was at the Miss Universe in Russia, sitting next to one of Putin's best friends and laughing with him, considering a lot of his investors are Russians, I think he's a lot tighter with Russia than anybody wants to believe.
I just don't know, honestly. I'm not.
Melania clearly is a Russian spy. I heard that from someone.
I just don't. I mean, I don't have a.
It's got to be true.
I don't want to pretend I know, because I don't know. There's something strange about Russia and Donald Trump. I have a feeling a lot of this comes from the fact that Putin said something nice about Donald Trump, and he's a sucker for a compliment. And if indeed they want him to win, it's not because they love Donald Trump. It's not because Putin loves Donald Trump or because Russia loves Donald Trump.
Well, I think they would much rather have him in charge.
It sounds like it.
I thought that was funny, too, when Hillary responded with, Putin would rather have a puppet. And you're the puppet. No, I'm not. You are defense. I know you are,
what am I?
Defense.
Pretty much.
Oh, God.
No, there was some...
but clearly, they're the ones hacking everything.
But why does that mean he knows Putin?
Because everything that they've hacked has been to his benefit.
But who's to say they don't just want him because they think he'd be the weaker president?
Oh, that's okay. That's fair. But I think there has been enough evidence to suggest that he knows him or is one or two people removed from him.
I don't know. That's kind of strange. I just don't know why Donald Trump would know Putin or why. Why do you think they would know each other just because they know people?
Why won't he condemn him?
I don't think so.
Why won't he condemn Putin?
Yes.
I don't know. What do you want him to say about him?
He has a terrible civil rights record. He has stolen so much money. Look at the Olympics.
How much does Donald Trump talk about civil rights?
Well, that's another problem, though. He's such an easy person to condemn. He's the president of Russia, and yet he won't do it for some weird reason. I find that utterly fascinating.
He's such a nice guy.
I cannot believe if he thought there was something in it,
Syria too.
If he thought there was something in it for him to trash Putin or to come down on Putin, I feel fully confident that he would. I don't think there's some friendship that has him holding back.
He doesn't have
Putin.
To trash him. He can condemn him.
Well, sure, but I just don't think it's come into his radar as something he thinks is important, and I don't think he listens to people.
He talks about him in glowing terms and how he admires him. I just think that's weird.
Well, he's one of these guys. I think Trump sees himself, and I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know that he does or he doesn't. I mean, I can't say. I just don't know. I think the whole thing's kind of weird. It's certainly plausible. You think he's borrowing money from Russia? Who knows?
Russians.
I don't know. I just don't know enough about it to say.
I found it interesting. We will never say a bad thing about him, and then refuses to believe that they're the ones hacking into different agencies over here.
Well, that's just public
agencies.
But I think that's just stupidity. I just think that's him. I just don't think he listens to people. There's a few areas where he's just so stubborn, and I just think it's like mental laziness on his part, or he just doesn't. I just don't think he's briefed the way.
That's my point, though. Every security agency has said it's the Russians. They feel so confident that they've actually been able to block them now from hacking and that they won't hack anymore. He gets security briefings now, and he's not going to listen to those people. Why? So much that he will publicly say, like, hey, we don't know who's doing it, when he is being told.
Why does he say that no one respects women more than me? Don't you think if he were a normal person and he had people around him who really could talk to him and say, Donald, this is what you've got to do, they would tell him, don't ever say that again. It sounds ridiculous. People laughed the last time he said it, and he said it again tonight. I don't think he listens to anyone. I really don't. And, you know, maybe that's a strength in business for him. But, you know, when you're trying to be the president of the United States, or you're trying to win an election, I don't care if you're trying to win as a senator or a congressman or whatever, and I'm sure he could win a congressional seat in New York. He maybe be a senator. I don't know. That would be too small potatoes for him. But you have to listen to people. You just have to. In that arena, those little things matter so much, and I just think it's a real problem. I don't think it necessarily means he would – well, no, when you're leading anything, you have to listen. And somebody – I'm trying to think who said this.
So that guy is going to run – a guy who won't listen to anybody is going to run a branch of our government. I mean, that right there is enough reason.
I'm just telling you. I don't know that, but that's just my personal opinion, because he says certain things that make absolutely no sense, and he'll repeat them. I just think he is his own guy, and I think he's a bit of a megalomaniac, and maybe it's just success. I think it was somebody in his organization. It might have been one of the chicks that, oh, I know who it is. It's the woman that he promoted, you know, who was one of his samples of, look at what I do for women. And he has promoted people in his company. He's been fairly aggressive about, I mean, I think he's honestly the kind of guy that, if he believes you can help his company and you're in it, if you're a guy or girl, Latino or a woman or whatever, I think he would promote you. I think he's that kind of guy. That doesn't mean he's necessarily the best guy in terms of civil rights or respecting women or respecting whatever. But that chick, and she's the one that he ragged for her weight. She said that he made some comments about her weight. She was on a show. It might have been CNN or something, maybe three or four nights ago. And she was saying that when she first started working for him, he was much different than, like, by the mid-late 1990s, that he all of a sudden, women were handing him phone numbers all the time. He'd become so famous, and he really, and maybe it was around The Apprentice, or maybe it was before that. But she was kind of implying that he had really changed over the years, that he'd become, his ego, which was plenty strong to start with, had just grown monstrously.
Really?
Yeah, and that... Wow. And that he didn't used to be like that, but it was like he talked constantly about, look who wants me. She wants me. She wants this chick. Well, she wants me. You know, people are calling the office and stuff. And you know, he's a huge public figure now. He didn't used to be. Remember in the 80s when he was just with the USFL?
We knew who he was.
Yeah, we knew him, but not like
deal.
We knew now.
The art of the deal is really what launched him, right? Well, that was post-USFL, absolutely. Though, but yeah.
But I thought that The Apprentice put him in another stratosphere. Being on TV every week, everyone knows him then. I mean, that's a new world. And I could see that even at, I don't know, it seems ridiculous that a guy in his 50s would change, but I guess it's possible. I don't know. It's hard to say. But, you know, going back to the debate, you want to see if there's any polls, Jay? I'm sure you won the internet polls.
Every single one.
He's dominated the internet polls. I mean, you got to say that for him.
And big, too. Big league. How many times did he say big league in that one response?
Yeah, he's weird. I know. Again.
He still sometimes makes me laugh.
What? You know, he made me laugh a bunch of times. And, you know, he's always made me laugh like that.
Like when she said that Bernie, which I love how both of them are fighting over like Bernie Sanders and who Bernie likes best. She's like, Bernie's supporting me now. And he just goes, big mistake. Big mistake. Big mistake.
John Podesta said she has bad judgment. And
I know that really came like came out of nowhere. That was really weird.
Well, he changed the terms too. He had them back. He had them mixed up and then he changed them. He said Podesta said she had bad judgment, and then he said Podesta said she had bad, I don't know, whatever.
And going back to the women thing, Hillary's talking about how he said they weren't attractive enough.
Yeah.
I did not say that. And then she followed up with the specific things he said.
I think he always gives himself an out, though. He says, and I don't know if he plans this, but like he said, look at her. Look at what she said. It's just, and then he said this. He said, I was just saying, look at her. Look at her. Look at all she said. Now I'm saying, look at her like she's ugly or something. I wasn't saying that.
She wouldn't be my first choice. I mean,
come on.
Look at her.
Look at her words.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
I think he's a guy who doesn't really, he still doesn't care what people think of him. He really doesn't. No. You would never say that if you cared. And that's, you know, in a way, that's one of the things I think people like about him. He doesn't give a shit what people think about him. When he says, she wouldn't be my first choice, it's so politically incorrect to say something like that. But there's a lot of people who I think say, I know what he means. He's saying, look, I'm not even attracted to her. Why would I assault her? Now, it's not the way you should probably answer that, but I think I knew what he meant. And
I just don't think that's a defense, though, really.
What, that she's kind of gross?
Yeah. You're gonna assault somebody.
But I think he meant it. I think he actually meant, like,
I don't doubt
she's not that hot.
I don't doubt that he meant it. I just, when he says certain things, and I never really think of him as being dangerous for this country. I think this country, I kind of like this country. I think it's pretty damn good. I think it'll survive either one.
Oh yeah, no, we'll be okay.
But when he starts talking about the election being rigged, it drives me up a wall.
And that was a big mistake. He should have said, yes, I will accept whatever the result is, and there will be a peaceful transfer of power. You know, he said, we'll look at it then. That was a bad answer.
I'll keep you in suspense. Yeah, I'll tell you at that time.
I think that was truly a big mistake.
Okay, good.
A big mistake. I think. Totally. I'm not an expert on this. I'm just telling you what I think. Now, with his core people, they may be saying, yeah, don't accept it.
Well, there is.
I think a lot of people saying, I know what he's saying. It's rigged. It's bullshit. And a lot of things are rigged out there, and I don't like it. And finally, somebody's speaking up for me.
There's an article in the Boston Globe, and this guy, in regards to the election being rigged, he said, if Clinton's in office, I hope we can start a coup. She should be in prison or shot. That's just how I feel about it.
Oh, there's some real
have a revolution and take them out of office if that's what it takes.
There's
going to be a lot of bloodshed, but if that's what it's going to take, I'll do whatever I can.
Who said that? Why don't we look that
guy up? Dan Bauman, 50-year-old.
Yeah, that's a common name. Anybody with a weird name in there might be easy to look up?
Let's see, Jeannie Bell Smith.
We're
going to have a lot of election fraud. We're having illegal votes. It is. Study after study has shown that there's not widespread fraud. It's a flat out lying conspiracy theory that gets people riled up and disrespecting our democracy and the way we run elections.
And here again, I think if he listened to people, I think if he had a nice little focus group of people he could count on who gave good advice, I think they'd say, hey, you know what? The media is a great thing to bash. Bash the media.
Yeah,
say it is. Say it's rigged in regards to the media makes it easy for someone like her. And, you know, the thing about her, you know, he brought up the 4-star general. He's getting 5 years, and she isn't. I think that's a good sort of rigged kind of thing. We knew. Didn't you know there's no way she was going to go to jail for the email thing? There was no fucking way.
No.
She's Hillary Clinton. She got too many friends in high places. It wouldn't happen. Would never happen. But when he takes it to, you know, the polls can't be trusted. There's a million people who are dead who are voting, or people who are unregistered who are voting. I mean, that's where I think most people go. A lot of people say he's really
Off
his rocker.
He doesn't like the polls anymore. He doesn't believe the polls anymore. Wasn't he Mr. Poll a year ago?
When he was winning, when he had 43%, and Jeb Bush had 5% or whatever. Yeah.
Little Marco or Rand Paul at the end there with his 2%. That's why you're on the end. I mean, he loved the polls then.
Well, he's a guy that when he's on top, I mean, he's going to give it to you, no doubt about it. And I don't know, you know, for him to lose this election, that's going to be quite a pill to swallow. But I think
he's not going to swallow it.
No, he won't swallow it. What I think he'll do is I think he will try to spin it into something else for him. Whether, you know, somebody, weren't they talking about a Trump network today, yeah, TV network?
There's no way.
I can't imagine a Trump TV network. I can't see it, but actually I can because he's got 35% of the 40% of the country wanting to vote for him.
But does he have enough
plausible?
Does he have enough money to start a television network, do you think?
Sure he does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Think he can get enough advertisers? Probably.
I don't know. That's the first thing I wondered about.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. It's
a big portion of the country people would want to invest in.
He is a huckster. He's got money. He sells himself. He's always done it. You know, I don't think he's completely destroyed his brand. I think his brand has changed. It's morphed a little bit, but I think there's still a huge Trump brand.
I think the Trump brand has taken a massive hit.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean by it's morphed. There's some people who probably love it more than ever. They're not the kind of people who are probably going to buy, $600 hotel rooms. I don't know. I don't know what he's done to himself. I don't think he knows what he's done to himself. I'm kind of surprised he's still standing at this point. I mean,
to both of them, really.
Of this. Well, are you kidding? What is going to stop her?
No. I just mean going back to when this all started, 16 months ago. I can't believe somebody else from the Democratic side didn't run.
Well, I'm stunned, truly. When she lost in 2008, mm-hmm. she was, 59 years old, 60 mm-hmm. years old? Would you have thought that, in 8 years, she'll be back? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, God, she'll be 68. I mean, she'll have, you don't have that much life at 68. You really want to put that kind of pressure on yourself? No, nobody should do that.
Well, considering she's...
No way, nothing stopping her from 2016, damn it.
Not even having 2 grandkids. I don't want to be around those brats. Put me in office.
I think the fact that there's nothing that can stop her from being president in her own mind is why I don't want her to be president. More than anything, anybody who's that pushy, I want them stopped. No one should want anything that badly.
I kind of agree with you.
And, you know, I thought the funniest thing on SNL Saturday night in that skit was when they brought up the 4 Clinton accusers. And she's oh, no. And she's like, I'm made of steel. Hi, ladies.
As if she hasn't come across them. As if she hasn't ridiculed them. No,
that was a really funny line. It was.
I like the subtle jokes in that sketch where the person in the crowd would ask the question, and she goes, "And now I'm going to walk over to you the way I rehearsed it. Left foot, right foot, right." Because she's a robot.
Yeah, left, right, left, right, left, right. Yeah. I know. That's what we hate about this. I mean, I just feel like we're being bamboozled by somebody, this programmed person.
That's what politicians
all do. All the right answers
do.
In their head, you know.
That's what politicians all do.
I know, but it's disgusting. That's why Trump's here. That's why he's
this
here.
This is what happens when you get somebody who's such an outsider. It's a disaster.
Well, you know, I go back to Ross Perot. I really thought Ross Perot, I thought he could have been president. I really thought he could have won that thing. He was so damn good. He was so he's so common sense. He just did such a great job of explaining things. He was so believable. When he said, "We don't need an energy department," I fucking believed him.
But look at the other outsider that was up here. And this is the one part. And Trump started to hit on this tonight. And he is actually correct on this about the primaries being rigged because superdelegates, by definition, are put in there so an outsider can't get in. Bernie Sanders never had a chance at winning the nominee. The fact that
DNC was behind her.
Well, I know, but just superdelegates, which is mostly people in the DNC and people that she knew, were going to go for her all along. The idea that superdelegates...
Oh, right, yeah. It was kind of rigged.
But if they didn't have that, don't you think Bernie could have won?
It sure seemed like it. And man, he had so much momentum at the end.
And he's got wacky policies outside.
It's really scary. And who loved him? Millennials loved him.
Loved him, absolutely.
What's with millennials? What is going on with them?
They're very caring.
They are so different.
Sharing individuals.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Maybe they were, some of them were, let's see, who would their parents be now? Gen Xers.
Me. They're people like me.
Well, you're baby boomer, so.
Well, okay, I'm a young baby boomer.
Yeah.
Old Gen Xers. I maintain that
we hated everything, so now they love everything.
I maintain that people around my age are the worst parents. The worst. The absolute
really?
Worst. Absolutely. And I don't know what it is. I think it's because, and this is true of most of my friends, most of us had really strict parents who, you know, you just didn't get away with bullshit. A lot of people my age were spanked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of things we have in common. And I think a lot of people, and these are like boomers older than me too, like maybe my sisters, and I'm not saying this in relation to their parenting, but I think a lot of people said, I'm not doing what my parents did. I sure as hell didn't like that. And I think a lot of people went way overboard and
became helicopter parents.
Well, there's really two responses. I think helicopter parents are more towards Gen X than baby boomer. I think the boomer parents were more like they gave their kids a lot of freedom. They just didn't want to, I don't know, they just weren't so harsh. They were just warmer, more friends to their kids than, you know.
Well,
I
always laugh about millennials, and I go back to the 21 Jump Street, the movie, when they go back to school,
yeah,
and they try to be bullies, and everybody loves everyone.
That movie's hilarious.
It's such a great scene, though, when they're in the parking lot.
Yes.
And they're so confused, like, why does everybody like each other?
I know. That was great. What's that poll, Jay?
We've got four of them up here so far. Oh, three boy. Out of the four have got Hillary. Ahead of Trump.
Online polls?
No way.
Yeah.
What are they?
Online polls, really?
I want to hear. What were the ridiculous sources last time we were laughing at?
Oh, everyone is Trump 85 to 15. And
Gina, what are they, Jay? Throw some out.
Like one is 56.15% for Hillary, 43.85%.
Who's it from?
Fox 2 Now in St. Louis. That's got just under 100,000 votes so far.
Who would vote on this? I mean, would you do an online? Would you actually punch a vote in an online poll?
No, never.
Another one here from the Observer out in Jersey. They've got Trump up at 60.46%.
Hey, he's rallying. What do you know?
39.54%.
Damn, he killed her.
He doesn't like the polls anymore. He doesn't believe them.
CNN have a poll. They usually have one.
They're usually first.
They're usually the first. Yeah.
They post it and they write first.
One thing about her tonight, and it's not like this is new to me, but you know when she talks, when you start piling up all the things she's talking about, you know, college, debt free college for people making under $125,000.
Well, that's a Bernie. That's a Bernie Sanders.
It's whatever.
Actually,
it is.
Bernie was everybody.
She referenced him.
No, I know.
But debt free college for all those people, those kids.
Not everybody's supposed to go to college.
No, they're not. But if it's debt free, they sure as hell are. Or people are going to try to get their kids to go to college if it doesn't cost anything to go to a state school.
What about some trades? If we're really talking about jobs.
She talks about job skills. I don't know. So much of that just sounds like just endless bullshit to me. But then she's talking about raising the minimum wage. And I'm thinking, first of all, about all the jobs that will be lost when they raise the minimum wage. There's going to be a lot of people put out of work. And I'm just wondering, everything that she's asked about how she's going to pay for it, it's by taxing the rich.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
how are you going to tax the rich are at 39.6?
Tax them more.
That's the highest rate. 39.6 is what Clinton raised it to. 39.6 is what Obama raised it to. So what are we going to get to? 45? 43? 42?
We're going to be back to the 80s, 80 percentile, like in World War II. Weren't they up in the 80s?
I think after you made a certain amount, like $100,000 or something. Nixon had a very high tax. I mean, the taxes were extremely high when Nixon was president. I think it was more like 70%. But you had to make a certain amount of. I mean, you made a certain amount at like 30%, and then it.
And then it jumped.
Similar to. It was that not too long ago. It was like that, but you know Reagan. Well, I don't want to get into everybody's taxes. It's a bunch of bullshit. But I just don't see how you're going to pay for all she's talking about by taxing. I mean, people making over $250,000. It's not that many people.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of money, but it's just not that many bodies. Oh, okay, here we got a couple. Who's poll? Is that CNN?
Yeah.
CNN is 47 to 42?
Who?
Clinton.
It's probably about right.
It's close.
Yeah, well, I thought it was close. This is probably his best performance.
I guess it was because he didn't get stuck in stupid stuff.
Yeah. He didn't stalk her around the stage.
That was funny. I don't know, she was just so rehearsed. She was so incredibly rehearsed, and I just laughed my ass off when he said, you know, she's resting, which means she's lying down and sleeping. He's
taking a nap in the back of that van.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm so sick of this thing.
Do you want to hear a fun Democratic story today?
Hillary Clinton was sleeping.
Did you hear what happened to their bus?
Whose bus?
In Georgia, a DNC bus.
No.
I'm just going to read the article as it was written. Georgia's Environmental Protection Division is investigating after a witness spotted a DNC committee tour bus apparently dumping human waste into a storm drain.
Oh!
Kind of like the Dave Matthews
yes.
Band?
Oh, yeah.
Lawrenceville police are investigating the claim surfaced Tuesday. A photo shown to us by CBS viewer showed a DNC tour bus apparently dumping the waste between stops. Mike Robbins, manager of a nearby business, took several photos of the tour bus dumping waste into the storm drain. In the picture, a liquid can be seen coming from the bottom of the bus. According to Robbins, a hazardous material crew responded to the location, collected the waste to keep more of it from entering the storm drain. And then he goes on. There's something about how bad it stunk too. Police say when officers arrived on the scene, toilet paper was scattered on the roadway near the storm drain, and there was a foul smell. So there's just a picture of a Hillary Stronger Together bus dumping waste onto the street.
Hey, wait a second. We have nude Hillary statues now?
Oh, is this the lady that knocked it over?
Yeah.
She was pissed.
Oh, fuck you, lady. Nobody bitched about the Trump statues.
Her titties hanging out. They put it in Wall Street, too.
Why did no one bitch about the nude Trump statues?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously.
I don't know. Did they not? Maybe people
did. I didn't hear anything about that. I saw them on television.
That's rigged media, Drew.
I saw pictures of them. I mean, it was all over the place. Because there are about 10 of them, I think.
Yeah.
Weren't there multiple?
There's a lot of them.
And now there's a Hillary, and now it's horrible. Now it's sexist.
Why is it saying? They're saying it's sexist?
Well, the article is nude Hillary statue versus nude Trump statue. Fair game or sexist? Let me see. I want to read this. In August, you may recall, a statue of a naked Donald Trump sporting an oversized belly, among other things, appeared in New York, San Francisco, L.A., Seattle, and Cleveland. They were placed there by an anarchist collective called In Decline, as opposed to Peter Hillary, wrote of the Trump statues, hoping to strip away the Teflon Don's legendary confidence to reveal the fleshy mortal beneath the expensive suits and long ties. Members of an anarchist collection decided they would showcase the aspirant president in his most humiliating way they could imagine without his clothes. Even earlier in the cycle, a satirical painting portraying a naked Donald Trump became so popular on the internet that its artist placed it on their website for free download. On Tuesday, a caricature in the form of a statue of an almost naked Hillary. Why is she almost naked? Trump was naked. Was placed just outside the Bowling Green subway station at around 6 a.m., which caused an uproar. Life-size representation displayed her bare breast with the head of a Wall Street banker resting his head on one. His lips were puckered as if he was preparing to nurse from Clinton. One arm wrapped around her large belly, grasping it. Clinton's face was twisted into a grotesque smile. The statue depicted her with cloven hoofs beneath the knee. If you're dying to see the whole thing, yes, click here for a link to New York Daily News story because of photos. The statue wasn't up for 3 hours. For a furious bystander named Nancy knocked it to the ground and yelled, "This is obscene! To put something like this in front of my workplace, I shouldn't have to see this."
Where were the Trump ones at?
I'm not sure, but they were plenty visible.
Yeah.
Well, it just said New York, San Francisco, L.A., Seattle, and Cleveland. Yeah. They didn't say where though. Put something up like this in front of my workplace. The woman stomped on the statue at one point, sat in it, as reported by its creator. As its reported creator, 27-year-old Anthony Scioli attempted to place it upright. Finally, police officers arrived at 8:30 and forced Scioli to remove the statue. No one was arrested. The Clinton statue could easily be viewed as offensive rather than satirical. The history of how the female body appears has clearly been so negatively coded and inscribed, it makes for a completely different intervention when you see the sketch of a naked woman than when you see naked men. Oh, suck my ass. You're a dork. Shut up. Is absolutely unfair and ridiculous, said Michael Bauer, a business student, told the New York Post referring to Nancy's protest statue. I bet that lady laughed when she saw the Trump thing online. Yeah, I bet she did. And you got super pissed at this. Like, where's your logic, lady? As for the artist, he would not confirm or deny being the particular artist of interest. I will, however, say how much I appreciate the exposure the piece is getting. So, there you go.
Well, clearly, get the Trump one and put it in front of her workplace and see how she responds.
In Trump's life was also pulled in the shaming via nudity tactics, publishing a flea from the front page. Oh, the New York Post. The Oogle office. Yeah, whatever. Cubs are kicking ass. Cubs are going to be tied 2-2. Yeah.
I have another...
Rizzo just got another hit, so he's popped out of his slump a little bit.
I have another debate poll.
Yeah.
Won the final presidential debate. 75.3% to 24.7% in favor of Trump.
What? Who's that?
Drudge Report? Is that biased? What?
Yeah.
Really? He also had the story. I meant to mention this earlier. You saw Danny Williams?
Danny Williams?
He's back. You know,
what's Danny doing now?
You know, we talked about him last week where he had
Danny
the whole video.
Bill's the illegitimate son with a black prostitute in Arkansas. Yeah.
And he's got the website coming soon.
Word.
He's fired. He's filed a paternity suit. He's demanding a DNA sample.
And the heel's black.
Oh, I love it.
He was in Vegas tonight, too.
Now, I swear to God, this is crazy. I think he bears a resemblance to Bill.
Sure.
You don't think so at all? I mean, he's black. He's half black. He's half white.
And he was black. I guess a little bit, yeah. I mean, you're supposed to look at the eyes, the nose, and the mouth.
Yeah, I just wanted when they had, maybe the pictures they used.
I don't think it's that absurd, except that it's been debunked a couple of times.
Not by DNA.
But well, yeah. Remember the Star
I want my dad's DNA. I want to compare it.
Remember the Star magazine had the DNA test done? But then, of course, Danny points out that.
How'd they do a DNA test? How'd the Star do it?
I forget. I don't know. There's a huge story on it last week when we were talking about
it. Would they get a little semen off the blue dress with Danny's hair?
They sent a whore in there and she got it out of Bill. But it is interesting. Like, if you were Bill, why not just do the DNA test to prove it wrong for once and for all?
Because he's probably scared shitless.
That it might be, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Most guys like Bill Clinton will fight that till the end of time. I mean, even that's interesting that Michael Strahan said he would do a DNA test, but only at the DNA laboratory of his choice.
That's even stranger, though, right?
That's kind of weird.
But honestly, I mean, what, you don't want to dignify this, but the only way to get it to go away is by doing it.
No, I know. That kid looked exactly like Michael Strahan, too. There was an incredible resemblance between those two. Even the gap in the front teeth. And also, Strahan did sleep with the woman. They did. Yeah. They were partners.
Well,
so.
Come on. Bill slept with that prostitute.
Of course he did.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. Actually, didn't he sleep with four prostitutes at once? Wasn't that the story? He bought four, prostitutes?
With Danny's mom?
I thought it was four at one time.
I'm looking at another
picture. The
story
went originally.
I think the mouth looks the same. I think the nose looks totally different.
Let me see.
At least in this picture I'm looking at. Like, see how the nose is a little more upturned there? And a little wider there.
God, it's not that different.
Okay. I think the mouth is dead on. Mouth similar. Is exact.
The eyes aren't bad either.
Yep.
The two pictures I saw before were, I mean, they were two, maybe it was just the pictures they used, the angle they were taking it and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it looked like, I don't know, it seemed like it was something to the story. But this kid just will not let it go.
No, why not?
Force
them to give a sample.
There are a lot of paternity cases over the years. Like, there's a Sinatra grandson, I believe it is. It's somebody that his Frank Sinatra Jr. knocked up. And this guy was clearly Frank Sinatra Jr.'s kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept trying to meet Frank Sr., saying, I want to meet my grandfather, and he was really kind of a pain in the ass. And they just blew this guy off so bad. In fact, I think he even got to Frank a couple times, and he just, like, waved them off, as thugs, get rid of this guy.
Did you get the new Inquirer that was out today?
No, I didn't. It's out tomorrow.
Oh, okay. It's supposed to have a big story on Hillary's fixer, the guy that arranged sex trysts for her with both men and women.
Hot!
9 pages, yeah.
Really? 9 pages?
Yeah. Hillary's hitman.
9 pages?
Uh-huh.
He arranged trysts for her.
Yeah, with men and women.
Male and female
prostitutes? I arranged a meeting for Hillary and a woman in an exclusive Beverly Hills hotel. The man who was hired by the Clintons via a Hollywood executive to cover up their scandals, told the Inquirer.
Wow, she's bisexual?
She had to come to the studio to see the filming of a movie in 1994. While I was there, I helped her slip out the back exit for a one-on-one session with another woman.
Hot.
It was made to look casual, leaving quietly rather than being caught up in the melee, but it really was for something presumably more sordid.
You know what's so strange about her? I cannot imagine her having sex for like the last 20 years.
Oh, God, no. She drew no, 20
but,
years.
But wait, think about it. She would have been, when Bill was president, she would have been, 44 years old?
Yeah, she didn't have sex then.
Well, I know, but okay, she can't go 24 years without having sex.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't
yes,
you think?
Can.
Well, I mean, I like to think that she didn't. But, I mean, wouldn't you think that something would have come up? I mean, somewhere along the line, but the rumors about her and Vince Foster.
Yeah, and that's why she had him killed, right?
No, he killed himself. But I don't know. I mean, you would have thought there would have been something for her. I mean, doesn't she seem like the kind of person that would if she wants something, damn it, she's going to have it. And I don't think Bill nailed her once in a blue moon just to keep her happy.
Oh, God. I would say he'd be disgusted by it, but then again, he's not very
disturbed. I've got to do this tonight. I've got to get this over with. And he would just do such a shitty job, too. I can't see him really. Well, I don't know.
Here's this guy's story, he's saying. In 1991, my reputation was such that I was asked to work on behalf of a fast-rising figure on the national stage, Arkansas Governor William Jefferson Clinton. I attended a meeting in Hollywood where I was told by an intermediary, quote, there'll be a lot of stories coming out in the tabloid press. We want them buried. I was informed that these stories would involve rumors of Bill Clinton's many sexual dalliances and an alleged ongoing affair of Hillary Clinton with a male member of her law firm, Vince Foster, as well as a female mover and shaker in Hollywood. For a retainer of $4,000 a month paid for by a third party, I was told to keep these stories hush-hush in one of two ways, by trading access to the Clintons for positive interviews or by paying the reporters.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Let's
get to the juice. Hillary only had just one lover, apparently. I'll keep skimming this story. It's pretty long.
I don't know. I would see her as falling for somebody or just liking somebody, and there's somebody connecting with her. Mm. I don't know. Can you see her just having like an occasional partner for sex once in a blue moon? That doesn't seem like her.
No.
I see her finding some guy that she thinks she can control, falling for him accidentally.
The gravest example of Clinton lack of judgment occurred in March of 94. Presidential brother Roger Clinton was marrying his 8-month pregnant bride, Molly. Hey, where's Roger, by the way?
He got a DUI a little while ago.
Yeah, but aren't you surprised we haven't seen more of Roger?
Yeah, a little bit. I know he's such a loser. And, you know, he tried to capitalize. He tried to get his band booked all over the place. Remember when he was trying to push his music career? Yeah. What a joke.
So he's getting married to his 8-month pregnant bride, Molly. There's a bachelor party. Prostitutes were involved. Recordings were made. Recordings involving Bill Clinton. Arrangements for a meeting between Bill and a 26-year-old brunette were discussed when the president was to arrive in Dallas for the ceremony. Well, come on, man. It's a bachelor party. What do you expect?
Well, the story about the campaign is that, because she has not used Bill Clinton at all. And the story is that he's had too much going on since they left office in 2000. And they were not going to risk having him out there and sort of holding him up to scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we saw the list. It's a good long list. And it all seems like it's pretty, I don't know. I don't think he works as hard to hide stuff anymore.
No. Well,
ever did.
He walks down the street to the Energizer's house.
Oh, yeah, the Energizer's right down the street.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
He just walks down.
I know. So, that's crazy. I don't know. Pretty weird. I mean, the idea of having a president who hasn't had sex in... Because, I mean,
she's been solely focused on one thing, becoming president.
No one believes that she and Bill have had any relations, do they?
No.
So, what is she doing?
You don't think she's going down on Bill all the time?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, I guarantee you a penis has not been around that mouth in ages.
Oh, no. No. I mean, she might just wake him up in the middle of the night and just use him for a quick jump on top and have a little fun.
He just reflexively does it.
Yeah, he wakes up, and it's almost over when he wakes up. Oh, what's going on? I'm a nightmare. Damn. Oh, my God.
Not the Energizer.
Oh, how weird. But, I mean, that's kind of strange to think about that. A president who had sex and, I mean, because we know Bill's not her partner. Well, so, what, she had no sex in 20 years?
You think Reagan was banging Nancy like crazy?
Well, but Reagan and Nancy, when they were younger, I'm sure
they were wild. Yeah,
they were digging each other. Nancy was she was a wildcat. Yeah. Remember we heard that?
Yeah, the Kitty Kelly book where she drove cross country.
Yeah, with those two dudes, and supposedly she serviced them both. That's what the book says.
Mm-hmm.
And Sinatra sure dug her. I believe she's a wildcat.
Even in the White House?
No, not in the White House. I highly doubt that. I don't know how old was Reagan. Seven. I don't know. I didn't want to think about this.
You brought it up.
This is taking a horrible turn. Okay, tomorrow is Thursday, so Trudy's back. Charlie's back Friday. And, you know, I got to emphasize, we haven't had, are we getting reviews still, Jay? We need to beg people for reviews because it helps.
Yeah, they're still coming in, but.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, we'll plug it again.
Yeah. Any recent reviews I can read to give people ideas of some of the nice, flattering things you can say?
Yeah, 1 second here.
The CNN poll is out 52 to 39.
Oh, it's going, so
Hillary's
going up. Because she was 47-42 a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more like it. I wouldn't have. 47-42 surprised me. Although, I guess, you know, when we watched just the post right after, even Megyn Kelly said she thought it was his best debate. She thought he got better with every debate. But him, you know, if he had rehearsed, mm-hmm. if he had actually done what you're supposed to do,
well,
I think he would have done a lot better. But I think, you know, the first one he winged it. He admitted he winged it. He made fun of her for rehearsing.
You know who played Hillary during his little debate practices on the plane?
Ivanka?
No, Chris Christie. I'm not making that up. That was reported tonight.
Oh, that's funny.
Yep.
Let's see. Things are popping at Red Shovel Studios. Thank you, thank you. I love Drew and Mike. Mm. I'm a listener of 20-plus years. Mm. Still hilarious and topical. If you're looking for a couple hours of fun each day, these guys, an occasional gal, are for you. Are these recent?
Yeah.
Okay. Second only to Howard. See ya. Oh, second. Second to no one! Kidding. Let's see.
Are these Facebook or what are these, hon?
iTunes.
Yeah.
Great radio show. I've listened to you guys for 20 years. You're great.
Great.
Love the show. Smart and funny. Where's the donate button? Coming soon. Drew, you're an amazing storyteller. Thank you. It's great to be able to have my fix of great radio when local radio has fallen off the dial. Mike, you are the moral compass of the show. Uh-oh.
Who is?
Mike.
Mike is?
Yes. I have an hour commute each way. Thanks for making it bearable. When did this person hear Mike last, I wonder? Maybe they're at the beginning. Maybe they're binge listening catching up.
Yeah.
Radio is not the same without you guys. I haven't listened to FM since you've been gone. I'm burning through episodes of my phone, catching up. Thanks for doing the show. I love Drew and friends. Happy to find you back on the airwaves. Keep it popping, people.
Drew and friends. That's cute. I like that.
I live in Shanghai, China, and listen almost every day. I'm on vacation. Yeah, I talked to this guy. He emailed.
Did?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Please know how appreciated you are. Taste of home in yesteryear. FYI, apparently.
Hi.
Mark's favorite word is apparently, he says.
Apparently, it is.
I honestly cannot get enough of the show. Always current, the chemistry that Drew has with all of his guests is genuine. So glad you're back. Great to hear the show. Return has made my one-hour commute enjoyable again. I listened with my... We could do this for an hour, man. I listened with my mom back during the riff days. I'm happy to have you guys producing again. Funny, entertaining. Keep up the good work. Please make money on this project. You have a great voice that needs to be shared. And them all out. Great to have the old band back together. There, you have some ideas. If you can't think of anything nice to say, there's some ideas for you. And yeah, we should. And the reviews help us too. I don't know why they care about how many reviews you have. I think it's really stupid. Why would your rank be anything based on reviews?
Well, they're not ratings or rankings. I mean, you'll see new podcasts be ranked in their top three because they have one episode coming out.
Yeah, there's some really weird stuff with rankings.
It's rigged.
Yeah. I don't think it's rigged, but there's something really weird. I don't even want to get into it here. Maybe some other time. But, you know, I've been talking to Mike Clark a lot. I don't know what. I haven't even asked him how he's doing. I was tired of bugging him. But I'm talking to him. We're texting back and forth. I don't know. He seems okay, but apparently he's not okay. I don't know.
Who's
I really
he voting for?
I can't imagine. I'm sure it's not that briefcase-toting bitch, though. It's either Gary Johnson or Donald Trump or Jill Stein.
Yeah, right.
It's funny. He sent me a text about the Cubs game. I don't think he's watching the debate.
Oh, really?
He sent me a text about the Cubs game at 8:10.
What? Well, yeah. The debate wasn't on yet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Not till 9.
Okay. So there.
Larry's by King has been long gone. This game, since this game's been decided, Larry King has left.
Oh, but, yeah.
Mary Hart's still there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hoping for a Dodger rally?
I don't know.
Ninth inning. I don't think it's happening. Cubs tie it up 2 games apiece. Now the question is, will the Dodgers pitch Kershaw on short rest for Game 5 in hopes of having him for Game 7?
Can I ask you your opinion on something?
Yeah.
Because Maz and I have argued about this, because he always talks about 2006 and the long wait that the Tigers had to have. And some of the Tigers have even alluded to it, the wait being a problem. You know, you're out of your rhythm. Is it that big a deal? Because now the Indians are waiting. The Indians clinched today, and now they're going to have to wait.
I think it's a little weird. You know, the reason I thought it hurt the Tigers so much is because they swept Oakland,
mm-hmm.
and they played St. Louis. Was St. Louis at a 7-game series? I mean, we were waiting forever, weren't we?
That's when Beltran didn't swing on the last pitch.
Oh, that's right.
The bases loaded.
And the weather was terrible. And remember, there was a 3-day rainout in the middle of the World Series. Yeah. So I just think there were a lot of off days, and the weather was bad, which is bad for hitting anyway.
Well, the off days, though, that affects both teams.
Yeah, but St. Louis was playing. Well, in the series, yeah, the 3 rain days, sure. But, I mean, we had not played for 6 or 7 days.
Yeah.
Then we had another break.
I just felt like that was overstated. It seemed to be almost an excuse. Did it matter? Yeah, I think it mattered a little bit.
You know what I really think it mattered was probably, let's see, how did that series go? Did we won a game in that series. Did we win Game 2, maybe?
At home.
Or no, Kenny Rogers did not start the series because he was criticized for not starting. He started Verlander the first game. Yeah, Verlander lost. Then he started Kenny, who won.
Yeah, that's
so
when
we
he
were
1-1. On his glove.
I think after 2 games, they should have had their shit together, and maybe that rain delay hurt him having a few days off, but I don't know. It seems to me when you get to Game 3, you've played 2 games, you had a big delay there, but when you've played 2 games, you should be over whatever that delay was.
Well, we'll see, because the Indians will be waiting now for some time.
Yeah, no, I think I'd be surprised if it has any major effect on the Indians. But what about Kershaw starting on short rest? What do you do there?
He's not starting Game 5, they said today.
He's not, okay.
No, definitely he's not going to.
Who is starting Game 5?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. Hang on, let me look.
They have guys. I mean, I was surprised they started Urias, though. I mean, guy's 20 years old, just turned 20 in August. And he's only thrown 79 innings in the major leagues. I don't know, it's weird. It's funny, though, when teams get to the postseason, it's funny how you find out what managers, they do stuff they don't do during the season.
Well, I was
like
going to say, look at
Jansen?
The guy the Indians started today was a young rookie, Merritt.
They just say, who's the guy that's going to win for me today? Mm-hmm. What do I do during this game to win this game? You know, bringing in closers early. You know, Jansen in the 7th inning of that game on that Game 5 of the series against who were the Dodgers playing? San Francisco? No, not San Francisco.
Washington.
That's right. Against the Nats. Yeah, Kenley Jansen in the 7th inning.
I know.
You know, the walking the winning run to third base in Game 1 with the Cubs. It's really
outside the box thing. Well, look at how Francona's used Andrew Miller, by the way, was MVP of the AL.
He was awesome. He was. So
it's a little surprised it wasn't Lindor.
But why don't you do stuff like that during the season? Why aren't you trying to win during the season the same way you try to win the playoffs?
I don't know. Maybe because there's the number of games are spread out a little more in the playoffs.
Well, that's, you know, as far as a closer going a little longer, yeah, I get that.
In other words, losing one game out of 162 doesn't have the meaning of, say, losing 1 out of 7, so you might take a riskier pitcher because you want the other guy to get rest.
Now, I mean, I understand the small sample size, but in some cases, it's like that strategy of walking the guy to third base. I just don't see anyone doing that during the regular season. Why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Because you'd get criticized? I don't know. It's just why. It's just strange. I see guys, managers doing things they would not do during the season. And I don't just mean pitching a guy in short rest or something. I mean strategies within the game. It just seems, I don't know. It's odd. I think guys feel they're compelled to follow the rules during the season. And for some reason, the playoffs, it's like, I've got to do this for my team. I can't care about anybody's ego. Or, you know, the Cubs were talking about, a lot of Chicago writers were talking about benching Addison.
Yeah. And who hit a home run tonight.
I thought, you know, good thing he played him. Rizzo hit a home run, too. But Pete Rose and Frank Thomas last night were saying, look, you can't babysit guys. You can't hold their hands and say, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings. You got to win the fucking game. When you're in postseason, you're trying to get to the World Series, you don't worry about somebody's feelings. It doesn't matter. The team is the only thing that matters.
Look at that. The Indians, the guy they started tonight, Ryan Merritt's 24 years old, pitched in 4 games this year and only started 1.
Wow.
Francona has no problem putting him on the mound.
That's interesting. Well, you know, remember that Jim Leland played Garcia?
Yeah, about
in the postseason, he had 50 at bats in the regular season. Yeah. He was 20 years old, but for some reason, and he played fairly well too.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he wanted speed in that lineup. And God, he is fast. He's really fast to first base. On you know, I noticed like even
and
still he plays
bed.
For the White Sox now. Yeah, in the sack too. The cheeks. When that guy hits a ground ball to short, they'll throw him out by that much at first base. He is so fast. Anyway, so the Cubs tie it up, and let's see, game two will be Friday night, right? Or game five will be Friday night.
No, it's tomorrow. It's Thursday.
It is? It's consecutive nights? They don't take an off day?
Oh, my God, I think so.
I thought they took
questioning me with everything.
It's weird. I thought they
shut up and said nothing. I thought
they just threw off days in that 3-game stretch just because of, I don't know, TV or something. But actually, you're probably right because they'd give them off day.
For some reason, I thought it was 2-3-2.
It is 2-3-2.
Oh, okay.
They'd be in Wrigley Friday, Saturday. Oh, no. They'd be in Wrigley Saturday, Sunday, which makes more sense. So TV decides everything, right?
Yes.
So
Game 5, October 20th at 8 o'clock.
It's just tomorrow. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Wow, this
or
thing's going.
Since it's midnight, it's technically
today.
Yeah. Well, actually, Kershaw, he couldn't pitch tomorrow. That doesn't make sense. That would
no,
be
he's
very
not.
Short
they already
rest.
Said he's not. It's the Japanese guy whose name I can't remember.
Oh, okay. So he's going. He's going game six. Yeah. Well, Japanese guy.
Six in Chicago. Wouldn't you rather have him pitching in Chicago?
I guess. Yeah, I would. I thought they were. I had a feeling the Dodgers were going to win. Well, they still can win 2 out of 3 at home. If the Dodgers win tomorrow night, Kershaw can clinch it in Chicago, which is scary for Cubs fans.
Yeah.
No doubt. So, anyway,
all right.
We're wrapping.
You take forever to say
nothing.
Trudy joins us tomorrow. So, the Big Three show tomorrow, and then 3 more of us on Friday with Charlie. Have a good one, everybody.
And just like that, a new accuser of Trump.
Another one. Oh, we got to finish. We got to get that in.
Seriously?
Yeah,
sorry.
Who is
sorry,
she?
Jay. It's another Gloria Allred.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice that I can tell.
I don't even know who he is. Gloria Allred has announced that another woman will come forward with her story about Trump's alleged inappropriate sexual conduct Thursday morning.
I don't think so.
They're going to have a press conference.
She didn't say anything about it?
She put out a press release.
Say who it is or anything?
I'm clicking on the press release here.
Take a look. You take a look. Look at her. Look at her words.
Look at
you
her
tell
words.
Me what you think. I don't think so. I don't think so.
A woman who accuses Donald Trump of victimizing her with inappropriate sexual conduct will hold a press conference tomorrow, Thursday, at the London Hotel located on 54th Street, New York, at the Regent Room at 11 a.m. with Gloria Allred. News conference will be the first time this accuser has spoken to the public about her allegations against Mr. Trump.
Miss
Allred will comment on Trump's statements in the final presidential debate when he said, "Nobody has more respect for a woman than I do."
We have a protester.
This is 9.
That was so fucking stupid to say that tonight. I mean, that was the worst line of the night.
It's like
the dumbest line.
Man.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
And you know what else? I'm sorry to say that nobody likes it. Nobody cares more about African Americans. I mean, anybody who listens. Would never say that stuff. Why would he not take advice? It just is such a flaw. know, like I said, I had hopes for him at one point. I thought maybe this guy would be interesting, but I don't know. I'm trying to think where things changed in my head. It's been kind of a... I think during the prime, he started getting wacky. Well, you know what? When he's questioning the polling when he lost those primaries, that seemed crazy to me.
I must say, you know, I think I had a lot to do with that, okay?
All right, Jay, sorry. I'll let you go. Bye.
See you tomorrow.
Adios.